In a very short time, we've been forced to reevaluate our values. Values related to employment, family, and home. As we come out of two history-making pandemic years, connecting with others is more important than ever. But it's safe to say that the way we can and want to connect has changed. We are not-for-profit professionals supporting adults to live, work, and grow in a rapidly changing world. Connection means that we need to work together to build and put into practice whole and multifaceted plans for our clients so that they can reach their own personal successes. For some of us, life is returning to pre-pandemic norms, where we work out of an office on a set schedule. Others may have no office to return to and may spend working hours on a couch or kitchen table in their own home. And some may be straddling schedules where they sometimes go to the office and sometimes work in their own personal space. These experiences are the same for our clients who are navigating a world that is still deciding what work-life will look like. How can we support them while adapting ourselves? Whoever and wherever you are, if you support adults in learning and life, the Getting Connected podcast may be for you. Join us as we talk through relevant topics that support you to do your best work. Grab a coffee, give us just a few minutes of your workday, and let's connect. Hi, everyone. I'm Ashley Hoth-Murray, and you are listening to the Getting Connected podcast. I'm here with my legendary, good word for the topic today, my legendary co-host, Gay Douglas. How are you doing, Gay?
Wow, I'm blown away by that that adjective. Legendary literacy Lollapalooza.
Leader.
Leader. thank you, Ashley. That's very kind. Yes, it's a bit of a rainy day today, but everything's good in the universe.
Awesome. Yeah, it's all coming together. Well, today's episode is actually our final episode for our second season. While we'll be producing at least four new shows early in the next fiscal year, the future of this podcast is a little bit unclear right now. You may or may not know that this show is housed by Literacy Link Niagara, a regional literacy network in the province of Ontario. Originally started with some funds from the Niagara Community Foundation and now is supported with funds from the Ministry of Labor, Immigration, Training, and Skills Development. Gay and I, we are co-EDs, co-executive directors of Literacy Link Niagara. We've held these titles combined since 2014. Before that, Gay was the sole ED and I was the assistant ED. And Gay has worked for Literacy Link for, when did you start, Gay?
Oh, that's a good test question. July 10th, 1997.
That's awesome. I'm not quite that specific. I've been here since 2007. a phone call in fall of 2022 led to a decision for us both to move on from Literacy Link Niagara in 2023. Our lives have both changed dramatically in the last few years. And as much as we love the organization and each other, let's just make that clear. There has been no rock and drama happening at Literacy Link Niagara. We both love each other. The time just feels right for Literacy Link Niagara to find some new leadership. So here we are. We are recording officially our last podcast as co-EDs. Gay retires from her role at the end of March 2023, but will stick around as a consultant to help with the transition. And I'll be here as interim ED until July 2023, which will allow me to host a few more shows, maybe with Gay as guest.
Who knows?
Who knows? So today we're just going to reflect a little bit on our wonderful time in Literacy and Basic Skills and Employment Ontario. So we have a few questions that we're just going to shoot back and forth and share a bit. So Gay, job sharing is not something that's typical, especially in leadership in not-for-profit. So what do you think are some benefits of sharing a job?
It's a great question, Ashley, and one I've had a chance to think about. I think what it really does is sort of a benefit to the organization, And also a benefit to the individuals playing those roles. So I'll start with the organization benefit, is I really think it would have been difficult for the board of directors for Literacy Link Niagara to find a single individual who had the range and scope of skill sets necessary to do the work. I would say that literacy leadership is both an art and a science, and that in our case, I think that Ashley brings the science and the mechanics and the technology and the financial wisdom to the table. And what I've been able to bring are the long-term relationships and the political pieces and more of perhaps the artistic part of the job. And I've been the voice and the face since Ashley moved north a couple of years ago. And only because of the pandemic have we been able to carry on in the same way as we did before, with Ashley joining us virtually, which became the norm. So number one answer to that great question, Ashley, is I think that because we have such different skills sets and passions and what we do best naturally, that it's been a great fit and a real benefit to the organization. For us, it means that we could do the work that we love the most and does come most naturally to us. And can I also speak to the downside of that? I think this
let's do benefits because I want to jump in on that.
Oh,
and
of
then
course.
Let's
get
start
a chance
with the good and move
you
on
get
to the bad.
A chance to talk too. Okay, good plan. Let's do this the scientific way.
So in terms of benefits that I've seen, so benefit for the organization, I would say, is just consistency in leadership, because of course, everybody wants to be able to be 100% at their job, but life, you know, has its ups and downs. And often leaders need to lean on somebody to continue to produce the results that they would like for the organization. Because we are both sharing this job, we've had times where even though we are 50-50 or 100-100, I'd like to say, in our work, we have been able to say, okay, you need to, you know, to step back, to take a week because something has happened in your personal life, or, you know, I've had maternity leaves and you've, you know, stepped up and filled that. But from the organization's point of view, they've had, you know, a strong, consistent leader, leadership team. So that you just see better results, and more consistent results. I think, there isn't, you know, the breaking up, the passing over for leaves, things like that, or vacations. So that's been really beneficial to the organization. I'm going to echo exactly what you said for benefits to the individual. We just get to follow our passions, pick our niches. We know what we're good at. We do what we love. And we have thrived in these roles, I think, because we have different passions and different niches, where if you had two people that shared more of that, I don't think you would see the same results, but we've really been able to be a dream team, in that way. And I think reflective of what I said, the benefits to the organization, providing consistency as a person, personally, I have found a benefit in the fact that I've had more flexibility because I've had you know, to step in, and I've been able to step in when you needed me. So definitely lots of benefits. All right. Bad news. What are the challenges? Maybe not bad news, but
yeah. Well, before we get on to the cons, I think there's one more benefit I'd like to flag as you were chatting, is because Ashley and I have such different work styles, and she's always been better at setting boundaries because she's had a young family and has needed to do that. And my family's all grown up and gone. She has helped teach me to set those boundaries more clearly than I have in the past. And to recognize when my week is over or when it is time to turn off my phone. So I want to give you that that little thumbs up, Ashley. Thank you for that learning.
Awesome. Okay, challenges.
Oh, well, the challenges are segregation of duties, is that because we're so good at the pieces that we've carved out for each other, and when one of us is missing, whether it's on vacation, maternity leave, or the odd sick day, I may not be aware of what has happened in Ashley's part of the job, or Ashley may not be aware of what has been happening in my realm. It will be a very interesting challenge for our board of directors, but they're really up to it, about really combining that and going out to search for someone who can bring that skill set back together. We did a really good job of carving it out, and now it's going to be time to bring the whole picture back together with a single individual. And I think it's worth mentioning that our board, in its wisdom and in many discussions over the last few years in terms of succession planning, really understood that they would never find another dream team like we became, and that natural organic development that happened, and that it would have to be a single individual from here on in. So that the downside primarily for me, and that's, it's not a big one, is that segregation of duties which naturally arise.
Yeah, that's a great example. I can definitely echo that. For me, I would say this is a challenge for me, but was probably not a challenge for you. I definitely had suffered from imposter syndrome because I came into a job. So Gay had been ED, sole ED for several years, and I came into the role that then we both became co-EDs. And it definitely took several years for me to find my footing, my voice, and really feel like an equal. Not that Gay has always treated me like an equal, even before I had the title, but just from the outside. And I think that part of that will always exist because Gay's been in the role of executive director for, you know, 26 years. And it, you know, there will be people that will always recognize you as ED and might wonder who, you know, who I am also because you are the face of the organization. It's just where your strengths lie. And it's really taken a lot of reflection to know I'm not an imposter. I bring a lot to this role. There's some definitely some interesting friction that could happen if we didn't have the relationship that we had. If you brought somebody else in, who maybe didn't know you or didn't know your working style and felt like an imposter, there could definitely be some issues. So it can be a challenge to bring two different generations together in leadership.
That's another point, isn't it? I think I'm at least twice as old as Ashley. So that it's the different generational. I could be her mom. I'm the age of her mom.
Yeah, you're not quite twice my age.
Okay, that's whatever. But I am. There's generational differences big time. And what many people probably don't know is our story, Ashley, is that I taught in the events management program, post-grad program at Niagara College for 10 years. And Ashley was one of my outstanding students. And so when we had a project open up at Literacy Link a couple of years later, I sought her out. I knew that she was working on another project, and I sought her out and invited her into the organization as a project manager. So that's really how it started. Was once again, it's kind of an interesting organic relationship that has evolved over the years. As you're talking, Ashley, about becoming more confident in the role and losing your imposter syndrome, which, by the way, I also had for the first 10 or 15 years, is what am I doing here? that organic development of the relationship has been really rare.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's talk about what we would tell other people. What advice would you give to someone who is starting out in literacy?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say be patient with yourself. It's a complex system. There are a lot of players. There are a lot of levels from the ministry right on down to the frontline staff and volunteers who are delivering services. Seek out others in the field who will mentor you and support you in your early days. And I can still remember Andrea, who I believe was with the Peel Halton Network, who consistently invited me to meet her in Burlington. So she could support me in the first couple of years of my evolution at Literacy Link Niagara. And without that support and her assuring me everything would be all right. So number one piece of advice would be take your time, be kind to yourself, and seek out the support of others. Take the time. Also build those relationships in the community of people who have great experience and knowledge to share. And take your time. It will, it is definitely an evolution.
Yeah, definitely an evolution because things are always changing. So my first piece of advice would be to keep a list of acronyms because there's a lot of them in LBS or Literacy and Basic Skills.
Very practical.
They're always evolving and there's always new ones and it's definitely important to have that list. The other advice that I would give someone is just to learn the basics, really learn the foundations, what are the skills that we're talking about? How are they measured? Get a good grasp of that. And then when you have a good idea of the foundation, to think outside the box. The programs and projects that we've supported or created and worked on over the years, the most successful ones have been where we've said, okay, here's the issue. How do we solve the problem? Let's go to the community. Let's collaborate. Hear all the different voices and come up with a solution that works rather than thinking, okay, what's been done before? Can I transplant this from another area and just, you know, stick that program here? It doesn't work. So really think outside the box, follow the client, start with a client. And what do they need? Where are they? Where are they going? And who else in the community can support you to do that? So it's all about relationships.
Absolutely.
Last question. What is one memory of your time at Literacy Link Niagara that will always be special to you?
Boy, I have to narrow it down to one, huh? I'm going to tell you one, and then I'm going to drop two more into the conversation very briefly, I promise you. The first is probably the key moments at our learner celebrations, which we held regularly up until the pandemic, in which the stories of the adult learners in the programs that we serve were front and center, where these adults who were engaged in literacy and basic skills, had the courage to stand up in front of their peers and in front of instructors and strangers from other programs in the region and tell their honest stories of survival, of learning, of challenges. And though to me, that's what put it all together, is even though our most constant and immediate contact is with our programs themselves, the managers and the frontline staff, this is where the rubber hits the road. Here is where we know that the great work we do is translating down and why we do the work we do. So that's my number one. Two others, I have to give credit to I did some math the other day, that over the last 26 years, there have been at least 100 volunteer directors that have served on our board of directors.
Oh, that's amazing.
Right? Think about it. I was thinking this morning, who was on my first board in 1997? And a few of the names are still involved in literacy. People like Chris, people like Tina, people that served around that table with no benefit to themselves except to support this crazy idea of a network. So big kudos to them and the relationships and the support that we've had from our board of directors over the year and continue to have. That relationship is ongoing. And finally, probably is really part of the early learning that I needed as network coordinator at the time, was the great meetings we used to have around the table at the Ontario Literacy Coalition.
Yes.
imagine those folks out here now in the literacy and basic skills world that four times a year we came together with all of the support organizations, all of the regional networks for two full, comprehensive, intense days of planning and identifying common issues to advocate for. It was a powerful time, and it also really helped with the evolution of the role.
Yeah, those are great memories. My biggest memory, we had a project when I was in my early years with Literacy Link, probably four or five years in, and we were able to go in and do assessments at factories that were closing down. They were laying off their workers, and those workers were looking to transition to new employment, and they were able to access some training dollars. And so we went in and did assessments and then built learning plans for them to help them, you know, with their next career. It was at the height of Second Career, which was an original version of what we now call Better Jobs Ontario. So I went in to this one factory several times. I think it was almost once a week for 2 or 3 months. And I got to meet with mostly, I think they were all men that I assessed. They were mostly in their late 40s to early 60s, and they were all choosing careers that had nothing to do with being on the factory. There was absolutely no linkages to what they'd been doing all their adult lives. And I think before that moment, I thought that literacy was, you know, where people came when they had nowhere else to go. And it was almost like a sad moment. Like, literacy was going to improve their lives. I knew what the purpose was, but it was a moment that for them may be sad in that moment where they walk through the door and say they need help. And what I found was that for these guys, literacy was such a hopeful moment because they had been working in this factory doing this job to support families and to support their lives, but they didn't love it. And this opportunity was going to allow them to upgrade their skills and then go after jobs that they were going to love. They were following their hearts and their passion. And it allowed me to really flip the idea of who was the client coming in the door, or who could they be, and what is their outlook? And I just really got to see this drive for people. And it shifted the way that I saw literacy learners. I've had the ability over the years to work with quite a few learners to do assessment in different roles. And I think by meeting these clients, even just for the 2 or 3 hours that I was with them, really allowed me to develop programs and projects that were learner-centered. And I will take those experiences with me wherever I go, just because I've been able to meet people I wouldn't meet anywhere else,
right.
Which has been really special. The other memory that I have was from my first year at Literacy Link Niagara, and we were at a meeting with other networks. I think for some reason it was in Niagara, but I'm not quite sure. And Janine Agnew-Cata, she is the executive director of the Durham Region Network, Linder, and she said to me that she was working in literacy so that her job one day would no longer be necessary. And I have taken those words with me for 15 years, mm-hmm. and that has been the reason that I've continued to show up. And I think that when I look at our literacy and basic skills programs, they're just filled with people that believe that and embody that. And it's just been so wonderful to work in a sector of people that really believe in making a difference and meeting people where they are.
Absolutely. I think it's very rare that you find this level of commitment. We know, as we meet around our literacy services planning table and our common frontline group, that these are exceptional people who are in it because they love it and because they know the difference that they are making in the lives of the people they serve. Absolutely. It's been a real privilege.
Yeah. And so I think that's where we'll end. It's been a privilege and an honor to work with you, Gay, and a privilege and an honor to work with all of the programs and the networks and the clients. Mm. And
while this is the end of an era, that's sort of the term that we've coined for as we're wrapping up this phase of the history of Literacy Link Niagara, it's also the beginning of the future of Literacy Link Niagara. So stay tuned. Ashley and I will not be far away, and we look forward to joining with our listeners and with the community to celebrate the future of Literacy Link Niagara.
I couldn't have said it better, so I'm going to end it on that note. Thanks for listening, listeners. We look forward to getting connected next time.